I can only.
We will call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting to order for Wednesday, September 4th, 2024. At 8:46 on the clock, we'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left, attendance by observation. Jurgens, Schuler, Tiemann, Dorn, Swavely, and Lytle, Ms. Axby will not be joining us today. First is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held August 21st, 2024. Approve all claims through September 4th, 2024 in the amount of $588,489.35. Accept claim number 2409-0063 to Hard Rock Quarries in the amount of $3,134.74. And claim number 2409-0070 to RL Tiemann Construction in the amount of $144,386.38 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve utility permit number 1312 to Windstream Nebraska LLC. Windstream will be installing a new fiber line to a residence at 17831 South 12th Road. Windstream will start at pedestal 270OH in the East Greater Ditch of 12th Road and bore 2-inch diameter by 48-inch deep line under South 12th Road to the East Greater Ditch. Once in the East Greater Ditch, Windstream will continue work on private property located west of Section 36, east of Section 35, Township 5 North, Range 6 East, Holt Township. Approve utility permit number 1313 to Onoke North System LLC. One OK. One Oak is what they go by?
I think so.
One Oak will be repairing a pipeline on the north side of Sargent Road, just east of 120th Road. One Oak will open a 20-foot by 20-foot by 5-foot deep excavation and expose pipe 5 feet to 10 feet off the edge of the road. Once pipe is exposed, One Oak will weld a sleeve at damaged area. All excavation will be restored to original condition. Once it is repaired and complete, located south of Section 20, Township 4 North, Range 8 East, Philly Township. Approve declaring items listed below as surplus and advertising on Purple Wave. Hennecker 7900 Snowplow 7901. Do I need to read each of these? Yeah, we will. 7901-C1427291. We're not going to read the VIN numbers, but they are listed. A 1977 Ford one-ton truck sprayer, 1962 Hobart welder, 1973 Hobart welder, a 1991 Ford 6610 tractor with Alamo mower, 2000 Chevy one-ton flatbed, 69 Curing crane drag line with a 25-foot and 35-foot lead, 2006 Sterling dump truck, 78 link belt 20-ton crane and parts, 2014 international dump truck, Onan generator and transfer switch, I assume that's an Onan, spelling error, 5-horsepower gas motor, 2 Robin EC10 whacker packers, 97 Logan roller 3-ton, 74 Cat D6 dozer, 84 Ford flatbed 2.5-ton truck, 73 1066 international tractor, 1990 Chevy pickup 1-ton dually. Most of the VIN numbers are listed with that. Are there any questions on the consent agenda? Otherwise, I'd ask for a motion to approve that as presented.
Second.
Motion by Swavely, second by Dorn. No comments. Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Regular agenda, approve or disapprove claim number 240909063, the Hard Rock Quarries, in the amount of $3,134.74. And claim number 240900 to RL Team and Construction in the amount of $144,386.38. This would bring the total amount of claims paid through September 4th, 24 to $736,010.47. These are both companies I'm associated with.
I have a question on the, how comes yours is normally not that high for the hole in the rock. What is there? Some that came in late, or what?
Nothing came in late, but there's been more hauled. I think some were down there and being processed for a while, but there's just been a lot more township gravel hauled as of late.
Just a high number compared to what it normally was.
About almost double what it has been.
At least double, yeah. Okay, that's fine. Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Swavely. Second by Dorn. Any other discussion on these? If not, please vote. I don't know how to change my thing, but I'm abstaining.
It's on the side.
It's on the side of the post.
Oh, it's got a, because it's got a vice grip.
I have a vice grip. Oh, there we go.
You take your vice grip?
Gravity's not working here.
Whoa.
Five in favor, motion carries. Five in favor, team and abstain.
Make up your mind.
Motion carries. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Welcome to the public that is here.
I say thank you. I'm the only one here, but I'm just observing.
Hey, we're still glad to have you.
Thank you.
Committee meetings, building committee reports, building and grounds, winter lights. Mr. Swavely.
Yeah, we don't have too much. David will update us for just a couple things.
Morning, Dave.
Good morning. Yes, I didn't have anything really last week to talk about. This week, Sunbelt is setting up the scaffolding for the east side. This is for the overhead fall protection while Masonry Construction does their work the month of September. And this will complete. They'll be completely around the building. This is the last side to be done for the repointing and repair work. So that's a good thing to get that wrapped up. Limestone, the bottom course, we have never done anything with that. Limestone is in good condition. I don't know if at some point that would need repointed. That's just about, you know, that band that's only 6 feet high. So whatever we decide on that at that time, it's a lot lesser of a project than the tall areas. So they are just getting started on that. And then the only other thing that we had pop up, our fire sprinkler system on the dry side, we found a little pinhole leak where there's a little spot of rust, and so we looked at it, and sure enough, there's a section of pipe that we'll have to replace on the dry system. So we've had that issue. That's been quite a few years ago, but every once in a while, get a little leak in there, and it's leaking out air. It'll start leaking out air, so we'll have to replace that section. So that's about all I had. Thank you. And I did test that contraption, and it worked fine for me.
I'm sorry. It was an operator error, Dave.
He's got a fingerprint into him, though.
Equalization, we just had a brief meeting. Pink cards will be going out. Joint public hearing will be on
September
19th at 6:15 in the evening upstairs in the courtroom. Everyone is welcome. Finance and insurance, Mr. Juergens.
Large ticket items. City of Wymore, quarterly EMS services, $10,000. Beatrice Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $32,863.21. RL Team Construction, Township Gravel and Hauling, $144,386.38. JJK Construction, LLC, first payment on the Pickerel East box culvert, $109,548.51. Beatrice Area Chamber of Commerce lodging tax, $12,431.15.
In our insurance, we had a meeting with the employees a couple weeks ago, went over what's going on there. Our rates were not, our rates went up by 12% not on our insurance, which for health insurance is pretty good, but that's still a lot of money. We talked to the employees about how we can offset those costs, different tools we have like Teladoc, Smith RX, things like that. We're hoping that through our prescription plans that we're working with the employees, we can more than offset our costs. So once again, every little piece we can control in our spending, it affects how we take tax dollars in. It also affects how we take care of our employees. So this is one where we can hopefully find a way to not increase the cost to the employee, but also not take more money from the taxpayer. So that was, I thought, a potential win. We'll see how this goes, but we keep working with different tools to try to make that happen. Human resources, employee relations, I don't think we really have anything to go over on that. Law enforcement, emergency management, Mr. Lytle.
Gus, you got anything you want to talk about?
Real quick. Morning, everyone. We're right now on a standstill with jail committee. Beans, we threw that juvenile twist in there on the facility. It kind of held things up. The needs assessment's done as far as the adult side goes. So about the only thing I do right now is I try to get everybody over here to this facility. I'm trying to get a location that I can take everybody over to see what the newer ones look like so they have that in the back of their mind. And we're kind of just sitting around now just waiting until I guess the board decides to move forward at least to get somebody to give a design so we can start studying that and looking at it.
Mr. Lytle.
Yes, I don't. The board hasn't made a formal decision, but I'm pretty sure that the board is on board with telling Prochaska's to finish up what they've done, not to worry about the juvenile side of it, complete what they've done, give us what they've got, and be done.
Okay, I'll let them know for sure today then. Go over there then.
If we want to make a formal decision at some point, we can, but
I think we actually took action on that and asked them to finish and give us a finished product that we could turn into jail standards.
Yeah, I think he'd actually sent an email last week. I think he was asked, trying to get Denny Maycomber, the chief jail inspector for the state, to come down and just talk to the board as well sometime, but he has a hard time. Denny's very hard to get a hold of, covering the whole state, but he'd been in contact with him. So, but I'll let him know today, finalize what he's got, send it, and then we'll go from there.
Because irregardless, that's a step we have to take. No matter which way we go, we have to move forward with jail standards.
Yep. Okay.
Quiet weekend?
Not bad. Not bad. Yeah, not too bad.
Has the issue been resolved with the $3,500 for the juvenile facility assessment? We received a statement or...
Oh, to get the numbers from the state?
Yeah. Well, there was at the last meeting... We'd received
the board voted against that last time because they had said that they were going to include that, or there was the board questioned why it was supposed to be included, and then we were going to get another bill. But I think that's when we took action and said, finish up what you started on the needs assessment for the regular jail.
Well, and we had to determine whether it was in the contract to do the juvenile. And if it was in the contract, do the juvenile, that they get us one. And if not, then they owed us some money back.
Well, I didn't see anything in the agreement that said anything about juvenile. It was all the adults said at that time. They start talking about that here later. So I didn't see it in there anyway.
Gary asked you to review the contract. Roger was going to take a look at it.
You want to just send me a copy of that? And I did talk with some people with the court personnel about getting that information ourselves.
Okay. So it wasn't in the contract.
I didn't see it, but I'll let Roger.
We're looking for a copy of that initial agreement. I didn't have one.
Okay.
Roger, I think it's valid for you to look at the contract and see if there's anything there. But as far as moving forward, I think it's important we do. If I didn't remember that we had voted to just move forward with it, but we need to be done. We needed to be done and move on.
I could be wrong, too. I thought we wanted that part wrapped up.
Yeah, they included the juvenile. He needed to move forward with doing it. And then if he wasn't going to do that part, then he needed to provide a refund.
Yeah, if his pre-final is actually his final, then it needs to be final, and we just need to be done with it.
They had presented, and I don't know if they wanted us to sign that agreement with them, and that's why they were waiting for the...
Yeah. Sure. And that's, you know, as far as that next phase agreement, and that's got some things you need to look at, because that's... And again, I'm not singling Prohaska, but that's one of those you're tied up with them.
Well,
for the whole project.
Right. I'm telling you right now, 1/6 of the vote is not on board with doing anything moving forward with that agreement.
Well, I'm just pointing out that a lot of times people think we got stages that we can pick who we want later on. This is an early commitment, and it costs you money to get out of it. So I just in case I forget to tell you again, that's important to keep in mind.
Okay, that's it. Thanks.
Thank you, Sheriff.
So you're going to look at that contract then to see if the juvenile facilities.
I have the next meeting for planning and zoning. I just wanted to share with you the next planning and zoning meeting is scheduled for September 24th. Obviously, we have the hearing coming up. We'll brief on that in a little bit. But September 24th at 7 p.m., we will have three hearings at that particular meeting, two telecommunications towers, and then the Class 2 solar conversion system. So the first telecommunications tower is in Philly Township, Section 19. The second one is in Island Grove, Section 34. And then the Class 2 solar, which you approved the escrow, the finance plan, you know, for with today's power and Norris Public Power was here that you previously have approved on that. So moving forward with those hearings on the 24th then. So, yes.
Lisa, just for clarification, so because I've had several questions on this. As far as the wellhead protection area, the P&Z voted 6-0 against moving it forward to the board, and there currently is no more discussion on that, correct?
So they are recommending denial of the wellhead protection area based upon the devaluation of the property of the adjoining landowners. It comes to you for a hearing when you're ready. So then now it's in your court, but their recommendation was to deny 6-0.
And they don't have any intentions of having any more discussion about it.
They do not.
Correct?
No. Nothing was expressed at that particular meeting. So
I've had a few council members and whatever ask me about it. So I just...
At the committee meeting, I briefed on the book that you received and the packets, and I know you're going to need time to go through that. So certainly if you have questions, I would just encourage you to either reach out to a P&Z member or also give my office a call. I'll be glad to, you know, answer questions. So, but thank you.
Thanks, Lisa.
Yeah.
Oh, also the Steel Flats project. Lisa and I talked. Roger and his staff also met with Lisa and went over things, looked at how those regulations were put in place when that project was built. After all of us visiting, those are, as we were told before, able to be updated or repowered. They'll be the same poles, different head units, different blades, a difference of, I think, 40 feet on those currently 350-foot tall towers.
For the new tower height would be, I believe, 444, somewhere in there.
444, so they're about 400 now. So it would be taller than the existing ones by 40 feet or so, but those can be repowered. There's a couple in question. Instead of going through the variance process at this point in time, they've just pulled those off. So the ones that are in question aren't even part of the permitting process. Those may come up at a later time. They're not new. It's not a new construction. It's not a new project. It's just making the ones that are there more efficient, slightly larger blades. But that those permits were issued last week.
So they have not been approved as of this morning. Moving very soon on them. I have one measurement to come back from the county surveyor on one of the turbines, but The other ones will be approved. So,
so there's two of them in Gage County?
No.
We have 12 in Gage County.
No, but that are...
So...
That are in question.
Yes.
Pull them off.
There is one in question yet to verify with Latitude and Longitudes. And then one, they pulled off the project. Actually, two of them, they pulled off the project. So we don't have that application then. So, but one, we're verifying a measurement yet. And that has to do with the county... Excuse me, county right-of-way is what it has to do. It has to stay 1.1 times the total height from the county right-of-way. And so that was what Chris Witolski was verifying for one of my other turbines. So keep in mind, on the county line, it's kind of, you know, you do every mile and a half. So Jefferson County takes care of a mile and a half, and then Gage County takes care of a mile and a half. So it's verifying that particular one. So, but.
So, oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I've had discussion with Lisa about this. One of the ones in question, I spoke to him. I mean, it's fairly close, per se, the rules we had at the time. And there's a certain amount of flicker and other things, and that is one that they did pull off. They're not going to raise it. And to clarify this, tell me if I'm wrong, Lisa, the blade is 88 foot.
So when you take the diameter,
is going to be 88 foot.
Yeah.
Bigger.
Yeah. So when they're at the 12 o'clock position.
Yeah.
But when you've got, you're correct.
Yeah.
Diameter changes, although the blades, there's three of them, so they're not centered off to each other.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that is correct.
So there's one that will not be rebuilt.
I believe it will continue as existing. The one change order in this particular thing is that they will be adding an ADLS system, the Advanced Lighting Detection System, which is a good, if you've heard comments through the time, you know, of the lights being, you know, one of the annoyances that would be taken care of by this particular system.
And that is a good thing.
So, thanks.
I wonder when somebody's going to come to us with the new design that they have out for wind generators without the big blades.
Vertical.
The verticals. Haven't seen anything yet.
Straight up in the air and go as high. There you can go as high as you want. It's got those big, they turn right close to the body of the post, okay? So there's a lot of stuff being written about it right now.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa. Yeah.
Road and Bridge, Mr. Juergens.
Not much to talk about other than I just talked to Mark last Friday, the base report on the Pickerel East Bridge. So he said they're progressing very well on it. So it looks like we have nice weather. And the other thing is I've had compliments for the first time on our county roads. I'm not kidding. Two people.
I told Mark that also.
I paid them.
You know, I get scared every time you say that because something bad happens. But I do get compliments from people from other counties on our roads when they come into Gage. So we're used to a nice road system. Even though half the roads are impassable, every time it rains we hear it's like I still seem to get around. People from other areas seem to get around. It's nice to be spoiled. It becomes par for the course, but keep doing what you're doing. Make them better. Do your best. It's nice to have somebody say something good, though. Any timeline update on the bridge?
There are 21 days in the road.
I mean, that's something, too. We're one-third of the way through now. 21 days of 60. Right now, I believe those were working days. I think their slated finish date's middle October somewhere. With a little bit of luck, we'll be done sooner. I see high moisture coming out of the field already, so we're trying.
Better hurry up or harvest is going to be done.
Can't do anything about that.
We are going to skip over Ms. Krackemeyer's report, even though we are going to move it ahead, just because we have a timed event at 9:15, and it's 9:13 on the clock now. Approve or disapprove recommendation of Tim Fralin as the manager for Hidden Acres Golf Course.
Move to approve.
Second, but I want to know why. I mean,
motion by Lytle, second by Swavely. Mr. Lytle, why would you make that motion?
No.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to back you up here, Dave.
Do you want me to make it personal or?
I mean, why do we have to do that? That's the only thing. I don't think anybody has a good answer for it.
But
it's what the liquor commission
new manager.
Pardon?
The only reason we would come to us because he's a new manager, and the manager must have the liquor license in their name. So, like, if there's the same thing happened out at the Elks, with the old country club situation, when somebody leaves that position and they bring in a new hire, we have to approve.
Because it changes the liquor permit.
Yeah.
Okay. We just did that with Chris here a year ago.
At the country club? Or
he was going to take over the Hidden Acres. You know, the cook out at.
Oh, that's right.
The state wants to know, don't they? State wants
it, whatever.
And this isn't to the Liquor Commission right now, but okay. Even when we do that, we make a recommendation to the Liquor Commission. They still, and we take the sheriff's information into account. It's still not the decision. We're just making a recommendation.
Mm-hmm. And to Dave's other question, I think Tim's all right. I think he'll be just fine in this job.
Yeah, I don't
Mr.
have any
Jurgens.
Questions about that.
Yeah. In answer to Dave's question, I think Chris took another job.
Oh.
Okay. So he's no longer there.
Oh.
Councilman Fralin will do a good job out there.
Well, okay.
We have a motion by Lytle, second by Swavely. Any additional discussion? Kind of. Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. With that, we have a timed event. I'd ask for a motion to go into public hearing to hear support or opposition from the public on special use permit number 2024-4 for the reinstatement of a pioneer cemetery that was previously abandoned at 9:15.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Swavely. Please vote. 6 in favor. We're in public hearing. There is a sign-up sheet on the desk to my right. If anyone would like to sign up to speak, Lisa?
Yeah, just I'll give a quick overview. You have your notes in front of you, the recommendation from PNZ. When you look at this particular cemetery, it is south of Big Indian, the east entrance known as Pleasant Hill Cemetery. If you remember rightly, about 2 years ago, that was hit by a tornado. And you as a county had committed to send some crews down there to do some cleanup of that because they lost several trees. And this has been under your maintenance program for some history. This will be the second cemetery that has been proposed to you guys to take out of abandonment and to go back into an active state. So the first one was Countryside, which was the Crawford family. There were state statues that actually were developed. If you remember, Bauman helped with that. It was important, you know, when you saw the need to ask state legislation to go forward. So this followed the state legislation process. That's what the Bogarts, Lynn and Leanne Bogart, are their applicants. It shows you a full list. They've done due diligence as far as finding their members for their cemetery association. They've consulted, you know, with a lawyer of what they have to do. So the county's been maintaining it, I think, for at least 5 years or more, which is the state statutes requirements. And then
The process is P&Z reviews the asking the and makes a recommendation, and then it approves the transfer through your action. So a little bit of history on this one. This particular cemetery dates back to 1882. So the Bunnell family, Ezra and Emma Bunnell, not sure if I'm pronouncing that correct, but we sent out land notifications, quite a range. We went also to Pawnee County and notified all the townships within that area. We had five different townships that we notified because we figured that was where there was history. And so by Leanne was doing due diligence with finding history as much as she could and identifying sites, and by getting that word out there, that is hopefully helped somewhat. They've established, they're in the process of establishing their perpetual care and maintenance fund. She'll talk on that a little bit. They have a plan for, you know, the upkeep of what they would like to do right away. The only thing that the commission did hear comments in the public hearing process, they actually had, I believe, at least eight members here, eight other people here during our P&Z hearing that spoke in desire of you know, being a part of this. So that we heard comments during the public hearing from the adjoining landowner who questioned where the true property line of the cemetery fell. And so the legal counsel advised us, the commission at that time, that the application for the special use permit was for the partial ID number, which follows a recorded deed. And so any action by the commission and the board would simply affect, you know, the reinstatement of the cemetery, and then any property line dispute at all would be worked out between private parties, and that was not a concern for the commission. So questions for me, but Lynn and Leanne are here today, so they'll be able to go further into their project. So
thank you, Lisa. Like I say, there is a sign-up sheet over here on the table to my right, to your left. Right now, we only have one person that would like to speak. Ms. Boger, if you'd come up and give your name and address for the record, and I'll swear you in.
Leanne Bogart, 976 East Walnut Road, Wymore.
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Please begin, ma'am.
Okay. So basically, Lisa has given you an overview. I don't know if you had access to our petition documents, but my husband and I, Lynn, who's sitting right back there, we have been residents of this county for over 40 years, and we have plans, or we would like to have the cemetery reactivated for a variety of reasons, but it's a perfect location for a rural cemetery, and it has been a rural cemetery. It was, the last grave was 1906. It was abandoned in 1977. And I believe it's been under the county's auspices since then. We have a cemetery association formed, and it will be filed with the county clerk as soon as we get approval for the cemetery. We actually have 9 active members on this cemetery association committee, and our initial desire is to just get it cleaned up, get the fence repaired, because I mean, a dog could walk over the fence, and there's no fence in some places. But anyway, we'd like to have the boundary reestablished just where it is. And then we will get to the point of when the county had to go out and cut these massive trees that were torn down. We've still got stumps that are up about that far. Get somebody together that can go in and do whatever it is they do to get the stumps to rot out. And then that will be an area that will be cleaned up. Then on the south side of the fence row, there are cedar trees growing one side or the other of what remains of the fence, and it's pushing everything cattywampus, and we'd like to get that cleaned up as well, pull those cedars out, which is something that a couple of us around there can do. We would like to, after we get everything cleaned up and the fence repaired and replaced, we will do some replanting. One of our board members is a horticulturist by degree. And then we will move on with our plans. We won't reopen the cemetery until it is, you know, presentable to the public. And by that time, we'll have our perpetual care fund advanced. We're following the rules. We're going to file the documents when they're due to be filed. The purpose of this is just to get this cemetery reopened. It'll be open to the public and only for human remains. There won't be any pets allowed. And it's the exclusive responsibility of our association to maintain this cemetery while preserving its historical aspects. Many gravestones have been destroyed through nature or vandalism or whatever. We're going to attempt to get those repaired as best as we can. We do have a resource person that has experience in restoring historic cemetery stones. So that is to our advantage as well. We're going to continue holding meetings as often as necessary, but we will hold association meetings twice a year. And if you want the rules and regulations for our cemetery, they're pretty simple. One interment per grave unless there are remains, and then if there is space available, you can put three people in there. The purchase price for the lot includes the digging and the closing of the grave, but that's to be determined when somebody wants to buy the lot, because everything changes in price as far as, you know, renting equipment. Everything has to be paid for in advance. Permanent markers. This is something that I think somebody might have misunderstood. The permanent markers have to have a concrete base of sufficient depth so that the stone won't tilt or fall over. That concrete base has to be no taller than ground level. The stone that sits on top of it, however, that's a different stone. So it's just the concrete base that has to be at ground level. In the event that somebody purchases a block of lots, corner markers are permitted at ground level also. We reserve the right to remove trees or plants that interfere with the aesthetics or are damaging or potentially can damage stones, interfere with roadways, and, you know, just aren't appropriate. I don't know what else I can tell you. We've been out there. My husband and I have been out. We stomp around out there all the time. One of our board members lives a quarter of a mile away, and my husband uses a cane, and he came down thinking we were metal detecting. And that's it. That's the metal detector. But then he decided when we talked to him, he wanted to be one of the trustees. So there you have that.
Perpetual fund, have you figured out how you're going to raise money or funds for that?
We have not had a board meeting yet because we have not gotten permission to redo the cemetery. But and all the board members know that as soon as it's determined yes or no, we will call a board meeting and get busy on fundraising.
I appreciate your effort trying to bring one of these cemeteries. Well, I guess it wouldn't be the right. I was going to say back to life.
But resurrecting the cemetery.
Resurrecting a cemetery. But no, we appreciate the effort in reestablishing that cemetery. Any questions from the board for Ms. Bogart? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Would anyone else here like to speak at the public hearing in favor or opposition to this? Yes, ma'am. Yep. Do you want to have her sign in after she talks?
Yeah.
would you sign up after you talk, just so that we have your information?
Sure.
Would you give your name and address
Margaret,
for the record?
Margaret Haith, 104 West Granville, here in Beatrice.
Will you please raise your right hand?
Oh, sure. I forgot.
You swear affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Go ahead and say it.
Okay. So, I had no intention to speak at this, but after listening to the lady, I think this is great, too, that they're trying to do this. The only thing that I have a little bit of concern with
opening it back up now to if somebody wants to be buried there, they can still be buried, because I have taken it upon myself, because my ancestors have been in this county, this state, for a long time. And come Memorial Day, I go to every single cemetery that I know of, that I've got three graves for grandparents to put flowers on their graves. And what I have run into in some of these that are still active cemeteries, people are buried there and they didn't have markers. So I guess I'm just concerned with this, that, you know, maybe there was a headstone, and like she said, a lot of these, and I've seen this too, they're knocked over. Go down to the cemetery on Scott Street. A lot of those, you know, they've vandalized again. They want to fix them. But I think, you know, if they don't have the original records, how do they know where people are buried? So if somebody else now comes in and wants to be buried there, how do they know they're not taking up somebody else's grave? So that would be the only concern that I would have. I mean, yes, I'm all for getting the thing cleaned up and keeping it going and looking nice. It's a cemetery, for heaven's sake. But as far as opening it up to allow new people to be buried there, unless they absolutely know, you know, where somebody else is at, I would just have a concern with that. So that's it.
It's a valid concern. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any comments or questions from the board? Anyone else in the public want to speak at the public forum, public hearing? I'm sorry. If not, I'd ask for a motion to come out of public hearing at 9:29.
So move.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Swavely. Please vote. 6 in favor. We're out of public hearing. Lisa, do you anticipate an action item to be ready on that in a couple weeks, or is there anything else that you need to do?
Cemetery is concerned? No, I mean, our board is recommending approval to you. So,
and that was a vote of 6-0.
Yes, we had one gone that night, so that they're recommending approval per state statute, following the state statutes. They've done so. So,
unless I know the board has any opposition, I would assume we'll have that on in 2 weeks, which is just customary for us.
So that 2-week date would be, help me out. What date is that? The 8th or
18th,
yeah.
Thank you. Oh, Margaret, could you sign the sheet also? Okay. No, it doesn't have to be now. We'll leave it up here. With that, we will skip back to Ms. Krackenmeyer, Executive Director of Engage, to present her quarterly report. Ms. Krackenmeyer has a tendency to run our meetings long. Thank you. Oops.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Could you give your name and address for the record? Do we usually do that?
No.
Name and role?
Rachel Krackmeyer, Executive Director, Engage, Gage Area Growth Enterprise. Okay, good morning. Today I have for you Engage's 4th quarterly report, so this is the remainder of fiscal year 23-24. So this is basically talking about activities and work done in the months of May, June, and July of this year. So some highlights of things that have been happening a little bit prior to that, and then during those months, is we did bring on a new part-time staffer. Her name is Kelly Smith. She is a Beatrice resident, born and raised here. So she has hit the ground running and been a great asset to our team. Her role is membership and office coordinator. So she's kind of my right-hand person, but also assists me in consistent communication with all of our members. Other activities, we have really been diving into housing efforts. We know that this is a critical need in every community across the U.S. And so we've been working with developers of all different types to provide really a plethora of options in housing realms. So you'll start to see some housing developments pop up around Beatrice, but as well as some new housing going in Wymore, Cortland. We're working in that area. Claytonia's got some things going on up there as well that we've been working with the village boards to make sure those are smooth processes. Workforce development efforts, you know, the biggest thing I talk to you guys about consistently is workforce, childcare, housing, business recruitment, right? Those are our top topics. Workforce development, we have been in constant conversation and meetings with both our education providers at the high school level as well as the collegiate level. So we have been working with Southeast Community College and their welding facility that is now open and active with classes happening in it. We have been working with our large industry of manufacturers to help create talent pipelines to meet their needs. And SCC has recognized that this is an industry that is worth investing in and have really developed some educational pathways that offer lots of entry and exit points for not only just high school students, but workers at all ages. We know that here in Gage County, we have a large population that just has some college credits. They never graduated with an associate's degree. So the community college is working to create more entry and exit points so that students and individuals can come back to the college, take some classes, and still garner a great career or job out of that. And then if they want to go back and continue to increase their educational level, they can do so. Still continually working on business recruitment efforts. You're seeing lots of projects throughout the county take shape. Jimmy John's, you can see tangible progress, which is exciting. And we're still hoping for a Q1 open for that restaurant. The secondary suite that is being built out in there, we're still looking for somebody interested in taking that spot. So this is me publicly saying, if you're interested or have a business idea, we can be your first point of contact and to reach out to us if you're interested. Engaging with our various partners, we have been working with Southeast Nebraska Development District, Center for Rural Affairs, the SBA, just to name a few. The SBA is the Small Business Administration. There is a lot of funding out there available for businesses to utilize to get themselves off the ground if they're a new or emerging business, but also if they're a business that maybe wants to expand into a different avenue or bring a new product life type of thing. So we can connect them to those resources and people that can help them with that. So we've been receiving a lot of calls of folks wanting to start new businesses in the area. So those partners specifically have been fantastic resources to help them. Childcare is the other big issue. You may have read in the local paper or the radio heard about the new nonprofit that Engage has kicked off. It is called the Gage County Child Care Collaborative. That is a 501c3 nonprofit that will slowly begin to take over the child care initiative that Engage has been running for the last couple years. There is a board of 7 in place to run that nonprofit, myself included. And we are working to continue to provide grant funding resources through the state of Nebraska and Nebraska Children and Families Foundation to support local child care providers and make sure that we have capacity and that the biggest thing we're working on now is affordability. We know that child care is not affordable, and there's a big difference in the price of child care and the cost of child care, right? With cost of food rising, cost of workforce rising, those types of things, those numbers are not matching up, which makes it difficult for the child care providers to stay in business and keep employees to keep their doors open, but to also provide this service to families that need it, which we need young families here in our community. So we know that this is a necessary piece of quote-unquote infrastructure to help not only keep our community where we're at, but to grow in the future. So with that, I will take any questions. I don't want to bore you guys with any more. How's that? Also, I will say, I am part or was part of the Beatrice Leadership Class 18. We've wrapped up, and you will see if you drive down Court Street in Beatrice, that pocket park, the shuffleboard courts, will hopefully be done in the next 4 to 6 weeks, but you'll see a lot of progress happening down there. So I'll challenge whoever on this board to a game of shuffleboard when it's done. Deal?
Yep.
Yeah.
I saw Envision Landscapes has some really nice trees and stuff planted
they
back
do.
There already. Looking good.
Do. We've got good trees, good plants, good concrete, good benches, all sorts of stuff. It'll be a great place to hang out. So,
address.
Oh, gosh.
Court Street.
That's what I told him, too.
Yeah.
It's four, next to
I want to say like 413. It's
Barber Electric.
What, yeah, west? two spots to the west of the bakery.
I was going to say west of Sunrise.
Where they tore that.
Yeah, where the building, yep, was tore down. Yep, so, I think it's 413.
As I came through town this morning from the west, it does really look cleaner as you come through town, not just because of that. I don't know what it was as I came into town today. I thought downtown did look pretty sharp, which is,
yeah.
I mean, it always looks pretty clean, but it did look pretty sharp. There's a lot of businesses that have replaced bad sidewalks. The Crows got that empty lot next to them fixed into a outdoor garden.
Seating area.
Seating
yep.
area.
Eating and dining. Yep, absolutely.
It looks sharp.
So all I'd like to request is the team and I get a little bit of time to practice before we have this.
Sure, sure.
This competition.
That's
sure.
a good idea. Any exciting projects you want to tell us about specifically?
Jesus.
Oh, gosh. I mean, there's lots of stuff on the horizon. I will say, and you'll hear the governor talk a lot about this, there's the big push for the bioeconomy, right? We live in Nebraska in a massive corn area. There is a lot of opportunity with biofuels, bioplastics, you name it. And the state is 1,000% in support of it, as well as the federal government. To the tune of the Nebraska Department of Economic Development has attended in years past what's called the Bio Innovations Conference. That usually happens in the Netherlands, but it's big bio companies. So, for example, it could be like L'Oreal because they use materials in their makeup products that come from corn. So they are one example, but DED, the Nebraska Department of Economic Development, recruited and basically asked that company that runs that international bio conference to come host one in the United States, and it's being hosted in Omaha in 3 weeks, less than 3 weeks. So I will be attending that as well as several other reps from the state and other economic developers throughout the state as well to hopefully recruit and highlight to these large, really Fortune 500 companies that Nebraska is a great place to come. And I'm going to be arguing that Gage County is the best place in Nebraska to come and build a business or expand what they're doing because we have their feedstock readily available right here in Gage County. So those are some of the things that we're targeting, and one of our target industries is biofuels, bioplastics, whatever it is, those types of things, as well as advanced manufacturing and those types of industries. So
I'm fortunate enough to be our rep to Engage, myself and Gary. We talk about this stuff. So as these projects come up, what is our resource here? Our resource is agriculture, one way or another. So you heard Governor Ricketts talk about it. You hear Governor Pillen talk about it. Value-added ag. It's not just grow Milo, grind it, and throw it on the ground anymore. It's so scientific, so in-depth. How can we utilize everything, whether it's corn oil or glycerin or whatever coming out of a kernel of corn? We're going to have lots of projects. There's going to be people that don't like pieces of those projects. I mean, as we talk about nuclear, some people don't like nuclear. Some people don't like wind. Some people don't like solar. There's even people that don't like coal, which I love coal. I mean, it's been our cheapest power forever. If we were out west, we'd be able to use hydro. Some people hate hydro because it backs the water up. There's downsides to everything. But what we need to do is look at the total picture. How does this affect our county as a whole? And we're going to have tough calls that come up as we move forward, but there's going to be things where we have to balance out the goods and the bad, just like you do at home. For every positive thing, there's going to be some negative stuff that goes along with it. How can we find the right projects? And sometimes the projects choose us. Other times we choose the projects. As we look at one project now, it spins off, and, hey, maybe this leads into another one. Instead of importing an output, we buy it locally. That affects our ag community. So every time you go and dump at the elevator, it's nice if you get another quarter a bushel or 50 cents a bushel, or if we can push those margins up. Corn is going to be about the same price now as it was 25 years ago, it looks like. So all your inputs are up since then. This is how you grow our economy, is by bringing in business. This is how you keep your tax levy down, is by increasing the property tax of the businesses that you've brought in. Those businesses are also hiring people that make real money instead of government jobs. Government jobs are not what we want. We want private jobs. So we're going to see a lot of this. I think we're poised for a lot of this new growth. Green stuff is huge. I love green stuff if it's profitable. This may be a chance for Gage County to keep looking and be in the lead. So Rachel and Engage is really helping with that. Looking at the future instead of looking at where we are, Engage, I think, is doing a good job. And I just want to give my plug. Nice work. Keep it up. Keep looking at the future instead of right now, because that's where we're going, whether we like it or not.
Yep. My efforts are focused at least at the very earliest 5 years from now, if not 10 years and further down the road. I cannot think about what's happening today. We work on what opportunities are available to us today, but what does that mean for the future? What infrastructure needs to be put in place? How are we going to get it? And Eric made a point to that, or made a statement that I want to point out, because it's something that is a real opportunity right now. And we are working with our partners to educate the public about it. It has been announced through press releases from the state, but NPPD is doing the study where Beatrice is one of 16 sites being considered for an SMR, what is called a small modular reactor. So this is nuclear power generation. What I am working on a daily basis is figuring out, when we have potential investment coming in, how are we going to get them power, water, sewer, all of those types of things. The hardest thing to figure out right now is power. Okay? Before, economic developers were trying to figure out, how do I get them here? The rest of that is off, not my problem, kind of thing. Now it's not only the infrastructure and how are we going to pay for it, but it's, where are we going to house the workers? Where are we going to put their kids? All of those types of things. But power is becoming a bigger and bigger and bigger question that we have to solve, because we can't produce enough of it fast. The demand is too high, and it's continually going up. Projects, when I see projects come in, the power ask is in the hundreds of megawatts. Some are bridging 1,000 megawatts. This is one company. Okay, so if you think about that in broad terms, and you can't generate power in a matter of a year or two, this project that NPPD is going into the second phase of study for is a project that, if we get selected, will hopefully come to fruition in 10 to 15 years from now. So that's how long-term the work that I do today will impact.
And truth be told, they're not putting a nuclear reactor at 19th and Lincoln. Correct. When they say Beatrice, they mean Gage County. It'll be in Gage County, not in town. I just have a feeling
that
won't
be. You've got a big lot there now.
Well, I have a feeling that's not something that goes in town, but it's in one of our communities here. So even our inter-county stuff, the counties around us all affect our economy. So as we do something, it helps Jefferson. As Celine does something, it helps us. It'd just be better for all of us if all those investments were in Gage County.
Agreed.
Anything else for Rachel? Thank you very much.
Sorry I kept you longer.
Made it.
Up next. No?
Gary.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll move to place the quarterly report from Engage on file.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Swavely to place the Gage County Engage quarterly report on file. Any questions? Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Lastly, discuss and approve or disapprove surplus highway items not being sold on Purple Wave and in lieu scrapping or calling for bids. I'm guessing this was discussed at committee meetings. Who wants to take this one? Mark, do you want to touch on this? I apologize. I was pouring concrete instead of at committee meetings on Friday.
Some of these items that list the scrap will be in the committee.
So 2 weeks ago when I submitted the surplus list, you guys had asked to have Purple Wave come down and verify what they thought they could sell and what they wouldn't sell. So I had Scott with Purple Wave come down that following Friday, and he and Bill Buss went around and they checked everything out, and he came back with a list what he thought he could sell, even with bundling and whatnot. And then with that, he suggested the other items that he didn't think he could sell to either surplus silent bids or take bids on or scrap it. So that is where that list is at.
That's what they would like to scrap instead of list.
Yes, he couldn't find any comparables to them, and or they were in not running condition, or he just didn't think they'd sell.
That comes down to they don't charge counties a sale price to sell these items. So if they don't think that they'll make their money back on them, they would rather not list them. I don't know. Do you guys want to scrap them? I would say still make them sell them myself, and then that's an easy way to do it. If it doesn't bring anything, it's...
So, some of these vehicles, I would probably suggest not to.
Why is that?
They are not. Well, the 1 3-quarter ton pickup is pretty much a rusted frame. It's there's nothing really left to it. Hmm. The homemade trailers and so on and so forth.
Maybe.
Get one when you need them.
I mean, we've got an expense if we move it otherwise.
Well, I mean, we can take bids on it. Or take it to the scrapyard, but if it's got a frame that's bad, you know, we could, I don't know if we're liable for that when we sell it, if we sell it.
It's as is.
The 3 road drags are worn out.
They're the homemade road drags.
We're talking about just some steel.
Steel.
So a lot of improvised equipment.
I think this is a list of just the scrap.
Oh.
I did it one time.
Well, it's a big list.
Yeah. If that's
here would be the...
Is this the right one? Okay.
The Purple Wave list was bigger.
Is there any value in just putting all the scrapped items in one big lot, taking a bid on it, and somebody else hauls it off as opposed to us?
It's worth a shot. Even if we just took silent bids or something on every item, and just if it doesn't go from there, then we can just scrap it. However, you guys.
That's why I said just put everything in one.
Yeah, if we're going to do that, I'd rather put it on Purple Wave if we're going to put them in separate ones.
However you guys
agree.
I don't know. What are you guys' thoughts, Mr. Juergens?
Keep this in mind. Crap isn't where it used to be. Okay, so, you know, keep that in mind. It used to be 4 years ago. Yeah, you can make good money scrapping, but it's not there.
You can still get $100 a ton.
Yeah, you're going to haul it. Where?
Axtell or Dorchester.
Okay.
That's the thing.
You're going to load it all up, cut it all up.
You don't have to cut nothing.
Huh?
You don't have to cut nothing.
Well, to haul it, maybe you do, though.
Oh, yeah, but tin wire, anything.
I understand that, but I'm just telling you, it's not as lucrative as used to be.
We're efficient at doing things that we do every day consistently. Scrapping is not something that we do every day. So if we have our own forces scrap anything, it's going to cost us money versus if we have someone else buy it and come take it or give us nothing and come take it.
How about Big Iron? Or is that any different than Purple Wave?
I don't know what Big Iron charges. Purple Wave doesn't charge counties anything.
They charge a percentage off the total fee of what is sold.
Purple Wave?
Yes.
Not to the county. What they do...
That's what Scott told me. They charge a percentage of what is the total sale. They don't charge per item. They charge off the total sale of the listing items.
That's changed very recently because Purple Wave generally charges $100 per item. And then they charge the buyer the remainder fee. So I think the way they do it with municipalities is they charge us nothing, and then they charge the buyer 10%.
That might be.
On
There's
top of the sale.
Fee?
There's a buyer's fee on Purple Wave of 10%. But the municipalities, they don't charge. Private places, they went to $100 an item now. Some of them split it up 2 and 5, 5 and 7. Purple Wave does, for municipalities, I think, $0 and 10% on the buyer. The scrap stuff, do we want to take bids on everything? Do we want to just make them list it?
These ones that are marked as scrap is a recommendation from Purple Wave?
That was the recommendation that they didn't think they'd sell.
So what happens if we run them through there and they don't sell? Do we have to pay some type of a...
No.
Okay. Only if it sells. Okay.
That gives it opportunity. I would almost say we run them through, and if they don't sell, then we do something different with them.
You know, maybe then... Other than to have each thing individual, but combine
a bundle items, correct?
Yeah, bundle it.
Even throw all of them together if they don't, because they've got an expense in advertising it, like Gary said.
Bundle it, because otherwise, if there's 3,000 pounds or if there's 30,000 pounds, it'll make a difference, you know.
Who knows? It might surprise us, too.
But they might take what they want and leave the rest,
yeah,
too.
Just like a regular auction.
Well, I think you're required to take it all if you...
But didn't we sell that antenna 3 different times?
That's the other thing. You just keep selling it. People didn't take that. We sold it. They didn't take it. We sold it again. I mean, it ended up being instead of us having to haul it away, we ended up getting something off of it. An antenna that was probably absolutely fine.
I would guess we would tell Mark to bundle some things together, but he better call him, make sure it's okay. Bundle things together, items together that are similar.
Do you want to bundle similar ones, or you just want to throw them all together? All these ones that
either
they
way.
Said is scrap?
Either way.
I make a motion that we approve the surplus highway items that are not being sold on Purple Wave to be bundled all together and sold either through Purple Wave or by open bids. Is that good, Raj?
Could we go on Purple Wave so there's not an either or, because we don't know what the open bids would be otherwise?
Well, if it's not going to go on to Purple Wave, then our second option is to do it as an open bid.
Basically, the motion was you do Purple Wave. If they decline for whatever reason, then you don't have to waste two more weeks. You can just say set it up for an
correct
auction.
That's my intention.
Field bids, whatever you want to call it.
Could we have just the sheriff do that then? Just set a time if it doesn't work on Purple Wave and let him go through bids? Or have people...
Just have the bids come into the clerk's office.
I think we'd get a better option, though, if people could bid against each other.
Because you're not really solving it through the sheriff. I mean,
we're not making a lot of money on this.
Oh, you got
we're getting this stuff out of there.
We're paying somebody to... Or
cleaning it up.
We're cleaning it up.
This is stuff
yeah, that... You know, there's a pup trailer sitting down there that got run over by a train.
And that's on here?
Might bring some money.
And that's why I think if you bundle it, that's my...
That's the one that they said they can't sell. It's on scrap. It's just something they don't want to do. They can do it.
Barnston.
Who knows? It might surprise us. There might be somebody that needs a 1960 Dodge or whatever's on there.
Okay, if we vote against it and you have a different motion, I'm okay with that. I just want to throw something out there so we get moving.
Okay, so we're going to sell on Purple Wave, and if it doesn't sell, we're going to take...
Sealed bids.
Sealed bids. So we're going to have to advertise for sealed bids.
Second.
If it doesn't sell. Yeah. That gives an option.
That's what I was going to say. Okay.
Motion by Lytle. Second by Dorn. To bundle everything together that they wanted to scrap and list it on Purple Wave. If they won't take it, we will have sealed bids and sell it that way. Any discussion on this? If they won't sell it. Is that correct? If Purple Wave won't sell that lot, then
we'll go to option two.
We'll go to option two.
And option three, if nothing comes out, we just scrap it.
Well, that might be.
That or we'll sell it somewhere else.
Somebody will buy it.
Yeah, when we get to that point, you can figure that out.
One man's trash is another man's treasure. Somebody will always buy stuff.
I'll just start loading it all into that pup.
Got some cases on that right now.
Motion by Lytle, second by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Do you need to update us on anything like this? Or?
I call them.
Not at this point.
They don't know who, when we get that sent. I don't know what. I haven't talked with Sanders. See, Darrell usually has some idea. I'm that's the first I ever saw when I got there. And I was like, holy shit. Thank you.
Well, with that, then, if there's nothing else, anything else from the board, Mr. Lytle, you have anything for us?
Good day, Scott.
We'll adjourn at 10 o'clock.